Happy Mother's Day to you, and to Jesus be true. May God's richest blessings abide upon you.
Rich and Misty are here.
Happy, hey, happy anniversary.
Year. Yeah, the newlyweds are here.
After all that,
yes.
After the turmoil that they went through.
Okay, well,
that's it. Is that it?
There's joy this month, but you can read
that. I can read
in
that in the bulletin.
Okay.
Yeah.
What's
that? Oh, that's right. They're going to be grandparents.
Dave and Karen. Finally.
Yes. What's that?
And great-grandparents.
You know, that's secondary. Don't try and make this about you. It's about them. You know. Yeah, that was hilarious. We were sitting there. It was Dave's birthday. What is it? Wednesday? Yeah, we were just sitting there at Longhorn Steakhouse. All of a sudden, they get a phone call from Bailey. And she goes, hey, just want to tell you, you're going to be grandparents on his birthday. So that was really exciting for them. I just sat there, you know, letting Karen just go over it together as grandmothers. And, you know, Karen's already got all the stuff that she's going to buy and, you know, all this stuff, you know. But, you know, that's exciting. It is exciting for all of that. So anyway, hopefully you read my email last night, and I'm telling you, I have literally this week, I have answered multiple texts from people about scriptures in the Gospels. How do we reconcile this? How do we deal with this, you know, based upon where we are? And that made me just really look at what we're dealing with today. Number one, the golden rule, which we'll spend a couple of minutes doing that. But the main thing is the narrow way and the straight gate. Because that has really been abused, misused by Reformed theologians from the time of Luther. It's just been improperly applied. And so we want to look at it today from the lens of the mystery and be able to understand these things. I keep telling you that it's so important for all of us, when you're in the Bible, identify, number one, where you are, and then identify where the scripture is based upon the main event in human history, which is the crucifixion, death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Where is that scripture in relation to the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ? That helps you understand whether or not it is to you as compared to for you. And we're going to be looking at that today. So let's have a word of prayer. Father, I'm so grateful for your word and just how we're able to navigate. I can't think of any other word except to navigate through scriptures that seem to be contradictory or confusing, but they really aren't. And for us to be able to understand these things helps us immensely in being able to study to show ourselves approved unto God, workmen that need not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. I thank you for this, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. And I just want to do a public shout out to Ed and to Susan for lending him to me this week. But I'm not going to say why, because I don't want people calling you. You know, you belong to me. So let's look at Matthew chapter 7, and we're looking at the golden rule. You know, that's where we are. Matthew 7:12. And I do want to encourage you, as we go through this, please go back. What was it, 3 weeks ago now or 2 weeks ago when Patrick did his tutorial? Just go back to like week 148, 147, and just look at how you can use our website by putting in phrases, and it'll pull up every lesson that I spoke of that phrase. Is it chronologically? He doesn't know. It's probably from latest to earliest. Like Kingdom of God, which is what we're talking about today, as well as Kingdom of Heaven. And that way you can just go back and you can look at it for yourself and just listen, look at the chart and what we're talking about there. All right. Matthew chapter 7, verse 12. Here's the golden rule that is throughout Scripture. Literally, it's throughout Scripture. Therefore, when he says therefore, you have to always look at what happens before that, because you have to find out what it's there for. And he's talking about praying, you know, how do you do this? You ask, you seek, you knock, all of those things. And if you, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, don't you think that God knows how to give good gifts to those that love him? And in Luke, what did we find out what the good gift was? What's the good gift that he mentions in Luke? It's the Holy Spirit. That's what the good gift is that is promised to those that ask, seek, knock. And so you keep on asking, keep on seeking, keep on knocking. Now, verse 12. Therefore, all things whatsoever you would that men should do to you, do ye even so to them. For this is what? The law and the prophets. Now, I'm just going to ask you, is that to us? No, it is not. Because we're not under the law or the prophets, are we? No, we're not. But it is for us because it teaches us how we need to treat others and how we should expect them to treat us. We should never have a double standard. You should never expect people to treat you better than you treat them, ever. And so that's why Jesus puts this in here to help us understand that. Now, this is a universal, transdispensational truth. It bridges Old Testament law to New Testament grace, because Paul deals with it in a very similar sense. So, if Paul and what others teach, including the Lord Jesus Christ, they crisscross because they match up, then we can apply it directly to ourselves. Now, if they don't, they're parallel. Paul says this, and Peter says this, or James says this. Then it's not to us, but we can learn from what they say. So it's important to understand these thoughts here. All right, I'm just going to give you some verses in the Old Testament. Exodus 23:4. Just write them down. This is talking about if a neighbor's ox or ass escapes. And you see his ox or his ass has escaped, go and get that for the neighbor and take it back to him, because that's what you would want them to do for you. That's what he's saying in the law. Exodus 23:4. Leviticus 19:18. Love your neighbors, you love yourself. That's Leviticus 19:18. Love your neighbors, you love yourself. Deuteronomy 15:7-8. Just chart them down, because these are do unto others as you would have them do unto you. These are the golden rule laws that are given. Let's take a look at Proverbs 25, verse 21. Proverbs 25, 21. It may ring a bell with you. Proverbs 25, 21. If thine enemy be hungry, give him bread to eat. And if he be thirsty, give him water to drink. For thou shalt heap coals of fire upon his head, and the Lord shall reward thee. Sounds very familiar, doesn't it? Yeah, it does. See, that's Old Testament. That's Solomon giving information about how to treat your enemies. Treat them with respect. Do something for them that they would never expect to do for you. When we were living in Pompano, our next door neighbor, he was a gruff man, never wanted to have any conversation with me about anything. And so I decided to start when I was cutting my yard, I would cut his yard all the way over to his house and up and cut the swale and all that stuff. I just did it over and over and over. I just cut his yard. And then one day he comes home from work and I'm cutting the yard. And he walks over to me and he goes, and I just finished. He goes, "I just want to ask you, are you expecting me to pay you for cutting my yard?" And I said, "No." He says, "Well, why are you doing it?" I said, "If I could just have 5 minutes of your time."
"Come on, brother."
And he said, "Sure." I said, "Let me go get cleaned up and I'll come over." Went over, sat down with them, gave them the gospel. And they got saved.
Amen.
I earned the right to share with this gruff man what Christ meant for me. And that's the golden rule. Do what you would want to be done to you. And so anyway, it was such an incredible picture to me of God's grace in my life as well as his.
Amen.
So, here, Proverbs 25, 21, 22, Luke 6, 31, here's another one. Just write it down. You want to treat people the way that you want to be treated. And let's go over to Romans chapter 12. That was Luke 6, 31, if you want to write that down and just research it later. But Romans chapter 12 and verse 17. Romans 12, 17. "Recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men." It doesn't matter what they're doing. They cannot be at peace with you, but you can be at peace with them. Live peaceably with all men. "Dearly beloved," here we go. This is Proverbs 25 right here. "Dearly beloved, avenge not yourself, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good." And so Paul agrees with the golden rule that Jesus lays out here at the end of the constitution of the kingdom of heaven, the Sermon on the Mount, as we've been looking at. And that brings us to verses 13 and 14. And before we read verses 13 and 14, I need to come over here and just reiterate some things to you, because repetition is the mother of all learning, and remedial learning is important for all of us because we tend to forget certain things. And so the issue is that we're going to see Matthew is the only gospel that deals with the kingdom of heaven. And the reason it's the only gospel that deals with the kingdom of heaven is because it's the physical kingdom. It is the physical millennial kingdom. We're going to turn this around in just a minute. And so we have to understand that. We have to understand that the kingdom of heaven is the kingdom of heaven on earth. It's physical. It is not spiritual, even though there are spiritual attributes in it, because the kingdom of heaven is in the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God always has been. From beginning to now, the kingdom of God always has. It's where God resides. It is not physical. God is a spirit. No man has seen God at any time, right? Yeah. And so the kingdom of God is not physical. It is not meat and drink, but it is what? Righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. Romans 14:17. The kingdom of God is not this building. The kingdom of God, as Jesus said in Luke, the kingdom of God is within you. That's where it is. It's inside. Paul also said in 1 Corinthians 15:50, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. We have to understand that the kingdom of God, that's why He has blessed us with all spiritual blessings. Where? In heavenly places. Right. It's in heavenly places. It's not here. The Jews are always looking for physical blessings because God has promised physical blessings. And they reject Christ as their Messiah. So they're looking for the physical, not the spiritual. That's why it's hard. It is hard for Jews to come to Christ because they have to leap over 613 laws that tell them if they're obedient, they will receive reward in those 613 laws. So the minimum standard is to exceed what? The righteousness of the Pharisees. Exactly, the scribes and the Pharisees. That's the minimum standard for the kingdom of heaven. The kingdom of heaven was replaced after the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Read Romans 11. It lays it all out, how Israel was diminished, how Israel fell from that exalted position of being the one nation, where all nations are going to come to God through Israel. That was his plan way back in Exodus 19. That was his plan. He laid it out that you're going to be a kingdom of priests. And the whole world's going to know of me through you. If. There's a big if there. Because they had to be faithful to him. Were they?
No.
No, they weren't. Every opportunity they had to run back to the leeks and onions of Egypt, they did it, didn't they? They took the idols from Egypt and they worshiped them. And it was their problem all the way through the Old Testament. Always dealing with Baal and Asheroth and all of those gods. Constantly having to deal with that. So the body of Christ comes into existence. Now these verses here, if you see this line right here, I added this morning. Israel is no Israel in the Bible. When you see the word virgins, that's a picture of the nation of Israel, virgins, and it's important to understand Matthew 25 when you see virgins, because the body of Christ is a chaste virgin, one singular. Chaste virgin, 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 2. And of course, that is helps us to understand that we're not just the body, but we're the bride. Ephesians 5, verses 25 to 32, it makes it very clear. Husbands, love your wives, even as, you know, the simile, as, like and as, the two most important words in Bible study, like and as. Even as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. And you go all the way down to verse 32. What does it say? This is a great mystery. This mystery was given to Paul alone. This picture. Now, here's the kicker. The body of Christ, us, it's the perfect standard of righteousness, of the righteousness of Christ, all those things. Here's all the verses that go with that, and we've already done it ad nauseum. When the body of Christ departs today, amen? I watched David Jeremiah. I watched his latest video. He said, everything points to the Lord returning in 2024. How can we go farther? You know, he doesn't give a date. He just says, as I see it, he has to come in 2024. I said it last year. He has to come in 2023. And I'm saying it this year, aren't you? I'm not. Yeah, every year. He's got to come. Can it get worse? You know, how much more can the falling away be? How many other denominations will follow United Methodist and destroy all that was built and ordain gays and lesbians and accept them all in without any reconciliation of sin? Nothing. They're just going to put it all in there. This is what's happened in the last two or three weeks. They have totally destroyed their denomination. Totally. Everything I watched, all it was lesbian ministers talking from the United Methodist Church. That's all I saw. I didn't see any men. And they were all promoting everything. And they were talking about how we have stolen the indigenous lands and we built on indigenous lands. And I'm like, what does that have to do with the gospel? Nothing. It's a social atmosphere. And all they do is they take all of those things that are key today, hot topics today, and they put it into their churches, and it will destroy them. Because the main goal in a church is to lift up the Lord Jesus Christ. Is it not? If I be lifted up, I will draw all men to myself. And they have eliminated him. Literally, the United Methodist Church is on the inside and Jesus is on the outside knocking. If you let me in, I will come in and fellowship with you. But the problem is, they only want to let him in on their terms. And he will not come in except on his terms. That's the way he works. Amen? That's how people get saved. I'm just going to say it. The jury is still out on Russell Brand. I don't know. I really don't know about him. He got baptized, made a big deal out of it. He's done all of his research through Buddhism and all that other stuff. And now he's come to the decision that it's Christianity that is the truth. And he got baptized in the Thames River. And he said, oh, the feeling of being baptized and I was dead. Now I'm alive. And I'm like, Karen wrote him. Yeah. She wrote him. I wrote him. I don't know if he's going to read it or whoever reads this stuff for him. But I told him, I said, physical baptism will not save you.
That's right.
And if you're depending on physical baptism, you're as lost as you were before you got dipped in that dirty water. And what's that? Oh, well, that's good. Would you eat fish out of it?
Well, they don't have many.
They don't have many fish? Do you know why?
They do have some fish.
Oh, that's good. But those fish I wouldn't eat, you know, for sure. But I'll eat their cod. I'll have fish and chips. That's right. Trish and I have our own conversations in here. If you've been here like a few weeks ago when I was saying some stuff and she had to correct me about, you know, the royal family and all of that. It's great. You know, it's great to have that interaction. And the rest of you can watch. But anyway, here's the kicker, folks. And we're going to look at these verses because this is what makes it important for you to see from start to finish where we are. All right. After we're gone, the gospel of the kingdom is going to be back in force, but it's going to be a hybrid. The 144,000 witnesses of Revelation 7, 12,000 from each tribe, are going to pick up the banner that was left by the apostles, that Jesus gave them the commission. Their great commission was in Matthew chapter 10. And Jesus said to them, you don't go to the Samaritans, you don't go to the Gentiles, you go to the lost sheep of the house of Israel, and you preach, repent, repent. For the kingdom of heaven is at hand. That's what you're to do. And that 144,000 will be sealed by the Holy Spirit. They will be protected until their job is done. And when their job is done, near the end of the tribulation, of all of their preaching and all of their mission work and all of those millions and millions of people coming to the knowledge of the truth that the kingdom of heaven is literally at hand. It's a hybrid. They're going to have to believe in the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. They're going to have to believe that He is the Messiah and that He's coming. This is what you're going to have to do. You read the last seven or eight verses of Revelation 7. It talks about the multiple millions of Gentiles that are at the marriage supper of the Lamb. They're there in white robes, marriage robes, and they're the ones who did not take the mark of the beast. They're the ones who suffered through thirst. They suffered through hunger. And they washed their robes in the blood of the Lamb. So you know that it's not here, kingdom of heaven, because they didn't preach that they had to accept the blood of Jesus Christ for their salvation. Right? This is before the cross. But here, it says that they wash their robes in the blood of the Lamb. So it's a hybrid gospel that they're going to have in the tribulation. And those people are going to have right to the kingdom. They're going to have right to the kingdom. Revelation 20. Just read the first five verses of Revelation 20. You'll see it. It's laid out. These people who suffered, they were beheaded. All of those things that happened to them gives them the right to ruling and reigning with the Lord Jesus Christ in the millennial kingdom. All right. So we're going to look at these verses in our lesson today. And let me turn this around. I'm sorry, what?
Okay. The people that got saved and this kingdom gospel.
Yeah.
Are those the tribulation Christians?
They're not Christians. Christians end at the rapture.
Okay.
They are saved people. You got to understand, when you say you're a Christian, that means you're part of the body of Christ. The body of Christ is taken. So they're not Christians. They're saved people. They're saved people in the Old Testament. They weren't Christians, but they were saved. We are born again. We are the body. The body gets taken, then the people that come after us in faith, you know, by faith, they're not Christians. Believe me.
Which of those are the elect?
What's that?
Are both, or which of those is the elect?
Every saved person's elect. Yes.
Okay, so that hybrid is to the Jews.
Jews and Gentiles.
Okay, well, that's what
yeah.
I'm asking.
Yeah.
A Gentile at that late period, can they be saved?
Absolutely. More Gentiles will be saved in the tribulation than Jews. But the message of the 144,000 is to the nation of Israel, and the Gentiles will hear that message, and they will see that they can't be killed. They will see that they're protected people. Remember, we walk by faith, not by sight. But I got news for you. Right here, there's going to be a whole lot of stuff being seen. Those locusts that come up out of the ground and they attack men for 5 months, that's going to be something that's seen. Having no water, having no food, that's going to be stuff that is seen. And people are going to be clamoring to know the truth. And it goes back to understanding salvation through sight. You know, yes?
Okay, so, but if I have already heard the gospel on the front side of the cross.
Yeah.
When they hear it the second time, they can't get saved, can they?
Who said that?
Well, I don't know.
I'm just going to tell you, the only people that have not a chance to be saved in the tribulation is the mark. They take the mark of the beast, you can't be saved. Everybody else is free game. Everybody else. You can be saved as long as you don't take the mark of the beast. two times in Revelation. Revelation 13, Revelation 17. People that take the mark of the beast, their names were never N-E-V-E-R in the book of life. Never.
But to live without the mark of the beast is going to be horrible.
Yes. And the goat nations in Matthew 25, they don't take the mark of the beast. They're like hedging their bets. They don't take the mark of the beast, but then they don't help the Jews either. They just try and hunker down. The Seventh-day Adventists. They hunker down in their garages that have, you know, 5 years worth of food in them and all that stuff. They've got all water filtration systems and all that. Karen worked for a guy. His whole garage was nothing but food. And they have to replace it every few years. Get rid of all that food and put all new food in because they have to plan to last 7 years. They have to plan. That don't mean they're going to share. That golden rule goes out the window. You know, once your money, it becomes more less than worthless. And you can't buy anything. And, it's like Haiti. Last week, Gerson, their friend, he always sends me his letter, and I read his letter. $30 a gallon for gas. $30 a gallon. Now, which one of us can survive at $30 a gallon? I'm telling you, man, you have to really calculate when you're going to leave your house. And if you forget to buy toilet paper, you know, or something really necessary, you're like, oh, man. We got to go over and talk to Vivian. She's our neighbor. Let's go talk to Vivian. You know, got to help us out here, Vivian. I'm telling you, it's going to be hard. It's going to be hard for them. Goat nations don't get saved. They get judged out when Jesus comes. Okay. You know, sheep nations, they enter. They enter in to the kingdom prepared for them from the foundation of the world. Prepared for them. Those are the sheep nations. The goat nations, they get cast into that open pit that we talked about. That's going to be down by the Dead Sea. They're going to be cast in that open pit of burning tar. Live, physically cast in. Which is going to be quite a sight for the world to see. All right. Let's look at verses 13 and 14 here. Enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate, narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. Now, I'm just going to, if you read it the way I read it, you have to understand this has works all mixed in it. You have to be looking for it. How many people look for salvation in the dispensation of grace? How many? None. That's right. Romans chapter 3 says, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that seeketh after God. Anybody finish it? No, not one. There isn't anybody that seeks salvation in the dispensation of grace. It's God that seeks us. It is God that reveals himself to us. It reveals the need that we have. There's an emptiness in you that can only be filled by the Lord Jesus Christ. You may go to church for any various reason, maybe to have contact with other human beings or to get involved in a group, and because everybody has needs and you have to get in a group for people to meet your needs because you can't meet them yourself. And so you got to get involved in a group so that they can meet your needs. You have to act like you care for them. so that they will care for you. You know, we're laughing because that's not the golden rule, is it? You know, when Karen and I were in Pompano, this young couple, sharp couple, man, they came into our young couples class and man, they were so excited. They wanted to meet everybody, know everybody, you know, and it's like, wow, you know, this new couple comes into our church and they wanted to get to know us. Isn't that great? Dan, isn't that great when somebody wants to get to know you? Until they come knocking on your door when you got 103 temperature laying on the couch, sick as a dog, and they just barge in and want to talk to you about Amway. And I'm laying there, and the guy's telling me, don't you want better for your family than what you have? I'm like, you know what? If I had the strength right now, I would just beat you into the ground. You're so insensitive to my needs right now. My need is for you to leave. You know? I mean, it's just amazing how people are.
Do you know anybody that ever bought Amway?
We bought Amway. Yeah, anybody buy Shackley? We bought Shackley. Anybody buy on Melaleuca? Let me tell you. Anybody buy a water vacuum or Salad Master or any of those things? The gullible right there. I come home and we got new stuff. And I'm like, where did this come from? Well, this nice man came and showed me how much cleaner our house will be if we use it. Is it going to clean itself? Is it automated? You know, the robo vacuum? We have a lot of illustrations of that in our family. It's hilarious. You know, only one of our children is susceptible to that, though. Our oldest. She's the only one susceptible. Kyle's not, and Kayla's not. You know, they're not susceptible. But it is passed down genetically, generation to generation. I mean, that's the funny thing about it. So entering the straight gate, Jesus says, if you'll enter into life, to enter into life. Right here, verse 14. Straight is the gate, narrow is the way, which leadeth unto life. There's only one other time he uses that term. And I want us to turn to Matthew 19. Let's look at that term and who he's talking to in Matthew 19, because it takes away anybody trying to figure out what he meant. What did he mean by that? Matthew 19, verse 16. Now remember, what is the definition of faith? Faith is believing what God said. And what did he say in the Old Testament? 613 laws, he said, right? The Mosaic Law, that's what he said to them. Believing what God said and acting upon it. When Paul told the Philippian jailer, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. The Philippian jailer had to make a decision. Am I going to believe what he said and act upon that, receiving Christ as my Savior? That's how I got saved. How did you get saved? Yes, the same. There is no salvation in any other. It is only through the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. So here in Matthew 19, the rich young ruler comes. Well, look what he says, verse 16. You know, he says, good master, what shall I do that I may what? Have eternal life. He asked him that question. What do I need to do to have eternal life? All right, verse 17. And he said unto him, why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, and that is God. But if thou wilt enter into life. See it? Did you see it? It's the same statement of the narrow gate, the narrow way, the straight gate. If you're going to enter into life, you must obey the commandments. You must keep the commandments. That is over here. Not over here. It's over here. Over here, there's no difference between the Jew and the Greek, is there? No, there's not. There's no difference. But over here, Jesus said, if you're going to have life, you got to keep the commandments. And of course, you can go through the whole thing. He asks him which ones, and he tells him. And then he says, oh, well, then all you got to do now is sell all you have. You know, prove it. You know, the proof of the pudding is in the eating. You're keeping the commandments? All right, well, then sell everything you have. Come follow me. Well, he wouldn't do it. You know, he refused to do that because he had great riches. There are people over here that refuse to sell out to Christ and be who they're supposed to be and get on the journey of Christ-likeness because they have great riches. And they don't want to give up their life. They don't want to give up the ease of their life. Jesus didn't ask you to give up the ease of your life. He said, give up your life. He doesn't care what you might do for Him. He wants you. That's what He wants. He doesn't care about your pocketbook. He already has your pocketbook. He can take everything you have. But He doesn't want to do that. He wants you to give cheerfully. Your time, your treasure, your talent. That's what He wants you to do. He wants you to give of yourself unto Him, regardless of what it is. It doesn't matter. Ed came over, helped me out, left, went home and ate dinner, came back at 10 o'clock at night, finished his work. And at 11, glory. Happiness depends on happenings. We were happy because of everything he did. That was so wonderful. Karen said, you tell Ed, I'm considering not calling him a pencil pusher anymore because of what he did. You know, he's an engineer. And so it was just so funny when she said that. You know, she comes out some real zingers. We left the Grand Canyon 2 years ago, 3 years ago. Left the Grand Canyon. We're driving out of the Grand Canyon. And she looked at me and she said, it's a good thing it was free. It's a good thing it was free. I laughed today. I'll just sit in my chair and just laugh. Just thinking about how she said that so candidly. You know, it was hilarious. And so we see here that to enter into life over here is obey the commandments. But I got to tell you, once this event happened, something happened to that salvation. And we're going to look at that. All right, let's go on. Faith is believing what God says and acting upon it. Hebrews 11, 1 and 2. Hebrews 11, 6. What does it say? Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained what? A good report, right? It was a good report. But without faith, it is impossible to please Him. Can you please God without faith? No, you can't. Why? I think I can. Well, the Word of God says you can't. So, there you have it. The Word of God trumps you. But without faith, it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is. And that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. That's it. The faith chapter. Looking through history. What does it say? Here you go. You got the dispensation of innocence over here. How many people lived by faith in the dispensation of innocence? Zero. They did not trust God. God said, don't eat of that tree. Eat of that tree. You got to believe what God said and act upon it. They did not believe God and they ate the wrong tree. Ate it. Now you get to the dispensation of conscience. Hebrews 11 lays out these elders who by faith obtained a good report. That's why they're in this chapter of faith. Who was it? Who lived by faith? It was Abel. He lived by faith. By faith, Abel. By faith, Enoch. By faith, Noah. What if Noah changed the dimensions of the ark? What if he decided that it's not wide enough, or it's not tall enough, or it's too long? Did he do that? No, he didn't. And that those dimensions are the same dimensions that every ship today is built by. Every ship today is built by the dimensions. Same dimensions. Different lengths and different widths and different heights. But it's the same dimensions. The Spanish rejected that. All of those people during the 1500s to the 1800s, they just built ships the way they wanted. Why did so many of them sink? Huh? You know why? Because they weren't ballast worthy. They weren't safe. And when they got into a bad storm, boom, they went down. The only way it would work is if you went by the dimensions that God gave to Noah. By faith, Noah. All right, so it moves on into promise. What happens in promise? You got by faith, Abraham. By faith, Sarah. By faith, Isaac. By faith, Jacob. By faith, Joseph. By faith, Moses. You can read them all right there in Hebrews 11. Every one of them. This is all Old Testament. This is all before the law. They're going by faith. And God required different things of them to prove out their faith. It wasn't the same thing. Let me ask you. In this mystery, does God require different things of us for our faith or the same? It's the same. It is exactly the same in order for you to enter eternal life. But way over here, it was different, 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 different. It was always different. Showing how God changed how He dealt with men. He didn't change, but the circumstances with which He dealt with men changed. And that's why it's so important for us to keep focused on that. So you got what happens in law. You got by faith Moses again, because Moses is the transition. He transitions from promise to law. By faith Rahab. By faith Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, David, Samuel, the prophets. All of them. They're all in the faith chapter. By faith they did these things. Now let's look at Matthew 8, verses 11 and 12. Let's go back to Matthew 8, verses 11 and 12. Now remember, we got a whole different circumstance here. This is one body, the chaste virgin of Christ. Over here, we've got virgins. Over here, how many virgins do we know are operating in the tribulation? According to Revelation 14. 144,000, that's right. There aren't one married of them. All 144,000 of those missionaries are all virgin young men. That's what the Word of God says. So they're virgins, not a virgin. All right. Chapter 8 of Matthew, verse 11. I'm going to get wound up here in a second. I'm spinning up. And I say unto you, pay attention, that many shall come from the east and the west and shall sit down with Abraham. We're talking about here. Abraham is long dead. It's 2,000 years from Abraham to the cross. 2,000 years to the rapture from the cross. Abraham's at least 4,000 years gone. But in this, what does the Bible say? Many shall come from the east and the west. Those are Gentiles, by the way. And sit down with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob In the what? In this. In the kingdom of heaven on earth. They're going to sit down with them. Verse 12. But the children of the kingdom. He's talking about Jews. Now, if I flip this, you know, you would see that there's no dispensation of grace. You can flip it in your chart. And you can see that Jesus' message has nothing to do with this. It's just straight across here. Okay? Pay attention to that, because it can get confusing to those of you who have not been here for 150 weeks. Verse 12, but the children of the kingdom shall be what? Cast out into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. There's going to be a judgment upon Jews at the end of the tribulation. He can't be talking about any of these Jews. You know why? Because what? They're dead. When he talks about the children of the kingdom, that means Jews who make it through the tribulation that get cast out. They get cast out of the kingdom. He judges them. He judges the sheep and the goats. He judges the virgins, which we'll see in Matthew 25. He judges those of the kingdom and those that don't measure up, which he says, I do not know you. They get cast into eternal fire, outer darkness. So they get cast in outer darkness. There should be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Let's go to Luke 13. Luke 13. I know I've got this marked. I know I have it marked. Luke 13. Here we go. Here we go. And he went through the cities, villages, teaching and journeying toward Jerusalem. He's on his way to be crucified. Then said one unto him, Lord, are there few that be saved? And he said unto them, strive to enter in at the straight gate, as is before the cross. For many, I say unto you, will seek to enter in and shall not be able. When once the master of the house is risen up and has shut the door, and ye Jews, pay attention, ye Jews begin to stand without, you're outside, and to knock at the door, didn't Jesus say knock? He did, right? Ask and ye shall receive, seek and ye shall find, knock and it shall be opened unto you. Yeah, but there's criteria. There's stuff that has to happen. You can't just be knocking. You know, you just keep on knocking. But you can't come in. Sounds like a rock song. To knock at the door saying, Lord, Lord. Sounds like Matthew 7, right? Lord, Lord, haven't we done these things? Lord, Lord, open unto us. He shall answer and say unto you, I remember you. No, he doesn't say that. I know you not whence ye are. Then shall ye begin to say, we have eaten and drunk in thy presence, and thou hast taught in our streets. They didn't say you taught us. See that? So you've taught in our streets, but we weren't listening, you know. But he shall say, I tell you, I know you not whence ye are. Depart from me, all ye workers of iniquity. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth when ye shall see Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and all the prophets in the what? Kingdom of God. Now see, on the other side, the kingdom of God starts over here. It broaches all the way, and the kingdom of heaven is in the kingdom of God. It's in it. We're in the kingdom of God. Then we leave. This takes over. But in the kingdom, the body of Christ, the bride of Christ, and the 12 tribes, and those Gentiles, we're all going to be in the kingdom together. We will reign spiritually. the 12 apostles, aren't they not going to sit on 12 thrones? Doing what? Judging who? The 12 tribes of Israel. Hello. That's going to be happening here. But we're all going to be here because we're all in the kingdom of God. And the kingdom of heaven and the kingdom of God, or the body of Christ, is going to be working in concert with each other in the millennial kingdom. That's why Matthew only deals with the Jews and he uses the kingdom of heaven for them. But Mark, Luke, and John deals with the Gentile world, and they can't use kingdom of heaven, that term, because it doesn't belong to the Gentiles. The kingdom of God belongs to the Gentiles. But it's the same exact event that's going on, is it not? Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, the prophets, they're all there. And what happens? And you yourselves thrust out. And they, who are they? If ye are the Jews, who are they? The Gentiles, right? The Gentiles are they in Luke. And what does it say? They shall come from the east, from the west, from the north, from the south, and shall sit down where? In the kingdom of God, which is going to be on earth at the same time the kingdom of heaven is on earth, because we're going to be ruling and reigning with Christ. Now tell me that's not exciting. Oh, thank you, Howard. Tell me that's not exciting. That just slipped out. It was a Freudian slip. Amen. It's like you just prayed. All right. Well, we're gonna finish this next week and get on into the next section. But I'm telling you, folks, we got to understand where we are and be able to look through the lens of the mystery to be able to rightly divide the Old Testament. When does the Old Testament end, by the way? Don't say Malachi, I'll slap you. It ends at the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, right? The Gospels are the transition books that take us to the New Testament. The New Testament begins at that empty tomb of Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you that we have the opportunity just to enjoy this time of running through the Bible and seeing these amazing truths in Scripture. I pray that we all would just crave it and seek to understand more and more each day. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.